Our epistle for this 20th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. Brethren, see to it that you walk with care, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not become foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 4, verses 46 to 53. At that time, there was a certain royal official whose son was lying sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judea into Galilee, he went to him and besought him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Jesus therefore said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you do not believe." The royal official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go thy way, thy son lives." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and departed. But even as he was now going down, his servants met him and brought word saying that his son lived. He asked of them therefore the hour in which he had got better. And they told him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him." The father knew then that it was at that very hour in which Jesus had said to him, thy son lives, and he believed himself and his whole household. Thus far the words of today's epistle and Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. And he himself believed in his whole household. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, what of your relationship with Christ? How is it? We're not here asking about the relationship of other people or other people's relationship with Christ, but we're asking about your relationship. So, self-examination. For example, how many of us would be here today if it wasn't obliged? There are even some, they don't even come when it's obliged. When we pray our prayers, how much effort do we put into having a good conversation with God? Or are they just words that we have memorized, that just kind of come off, flow off our lips, until we have something major that happens in our life, perhaps a personal sickness or a death in the family or some other type of need or tragedy? What type of a relationship is that? Granted, one of the four ends of prayer is petition, the one that's most used, but also the one that's most abused, because it's oftentimes selfish. I want, I need. And it's not connected with an element that is so important in our prayers, and that is submission to God's will. Of the four ends of prayer, the next one that's used the most is contrition. Contrition is very important, but it's often imperfect and sometimes deficient, meaning we're sorry because we feel bad. It's not contrition. It's imperfect. We're sorry because we don't want to go to hell. We want to go to heaven. Okay? But it's still imperfect. But if we had a real sorrow for our sin because we've offended Almighty God, who is all good and worthy of our love and has demonstrated and shared his love with us, okay, now we're on a plane or in a direction that we need to be. One that's far too often forgotten is thanksgiving. Thanking God for the graces he has given to us, the benefits, the opportunities, and the crosses. Blessings come in form of crosses. He says, He tells us if we want to be his disciples, we have to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. So yes, we should thank God for the crosses and the opportunities to prove our love for him. What's the best way of showing ourselves grateful for the gifts that we have been given is making good use of those gifts. How many of us thought, let's just take today about your guardian angel? A gift given to you by Almighty God. Each individual person in this church has a guardian angel that was given to you by the Lord to light, to guard, to rule, to guide. How often we go through days without even thinking, if not weeks, without thinking of a guardian angel. And if we were to think and open ourselves up to the influence of a guardian angel, how empowered we would be. Far too often we open ourselves up to the influence of the demonic. Perhaps, hopefully, unknowingly. Some people do it knowingly. On account of the entertainment that we watch or things we get involved with. And yet, we don't take the little effort that we could put into opening ourselves up to the influence of the angelic and find ourselves with the help that we need in order to pass this test called life and grow in our love for the good Lord. And the primary end of prayer, which makes all the other prayers sufficient and good, is one that far too often it's not even thought about, and that's adoration. Adoration has that element of love. It's not just bowing down to a God who is angry, but understanding that we are invited by a loving Father who wants us to be part of his heavenly family, but gives us the choice. But far too often we're blinded by selfishness and women want, and we try to do things our own way, and there's only one way to do things, and it's the right way, and it's Christ's way. There's only one truth to be had, and it's his truth. Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father but by me. And we wonder why we're not happy and at peace. How can you be at peace when you don't have Christ? Or you don't have a good relationship with Christ? St. Paul tells us, walk with care. Don't be unwise, but wise. Don't be foolish. But make the most of your time. We have a limited amount of time to get to heaven. We have all the opportunities at our fingertips. It's not going to happen tomorrow. It needs to happen today. Who here can guarantee themselves another day? No, today is the gift. Today is the opportunity. Therefore, do not become foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do you want to do God's will? That's what it comes down to. Oh, we say it, don't we, when we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But do we really want God's will in our day? If we really want God's will in our day, then we open ourselves up to his direction. We don't have the yes, but attitude. Now, how do we know God's will? That's things that are thrown out there. We're like, okay, great. But what's God's will? Well, circumstances, usually in our vocation and duties that we have, that's God's will. And crosses that we're given to carry, like sicknesses and other difficulties, okay. These tests that are given to us. But to know God's will for certain, St. Paul gives us the answer in the epistle. And he gives us the answer in many of his epistles. He says, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the answer. But how many of us call upon the Holy Spirit? St. Paul says we must stir up the Spirit within us. What does that mean? Well, if we are in sanctifying grace is the life of God in our soul. The Holy Spirit is our connection with the divine, the third person of the Blessed Trinity, who we say as an afterthought, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. No, the Holy Spirit we call upon, we ask that we may be truly wise, never to rejoice in his consolation. If we truly call upon the Holy Spirit and we are led by the Spirit, then we will know God's will. But you have to sincerely petition his help. Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. What does that mean? Remember what our Lord says, what you do to others, you do to me. We're not meant to have connection with God and keep it to ourselves. We're meant to have connection with God and share it with others. Share it, take Christ and his Spirit from the community rail back to the pew, back to the home, and share it with others out in the world. But not just everybody at first. At first, we share it with our family. Take a look at the last line of the gospel. He himself believed in his whole household. If we take Christ back out, then, and we really let him work in us and through us, then it affects our family. And then affects other people that we come in contact with. And we can be that light in the world that's really dark. Because, like it says, St. Paul says, the days are evil. But we're supposed to be instruments of Christ. Let your light shine before men so that they might see your good works and rejoice in your Father who is in heaven. Our works are only good when we do his will. And we really invest each day, every day, in our relationship with Christ. Not make it an afterthought. Like, oh yeah, or an obligation. I have to go to church. No, make him an essential part of each day, every day. And you will not only be happy and at peace in time, but you will find yourself where you're supposed to be for all eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.